I'm Bill Quine of Peel Heritage Trust. In the summer of 2008, I went with Roy Christian to visit Stanley Caron at his home in Craignish. Stanley was born in Craignish in 1910. The ever active Stanley had asked for a bit of advice about a wind turbine driven generator he wanted constructing. What a man! As he told me at the time, "You must keep the grey cells working, boy." After a chat about his turbine, we started talking about his father. We tried subsequently to return for further recording, but both times he had visitors. Unfortunately, we never did get more, as Stanley died in 2009. We join the conversation where Stanley is chatting about his father.
Well, in my time, my young days, he was a sailor, engineer on a coaster, but he had served his time for a mason. But when he was 66 years of age, or 60, he had to give up the heart trouble, you know, he couldn't do any heavy work. He would do bits of work, and with Dr. Luthwaite around here at that time, a wonderful man.
Yes.
See? And my father would be out and be busy, wanting to do something. And was worrying my mother. And she said to Dr. Luthwaite, Dr. Luthwaite used to come and see him, you see, friend of ours. She says, "I wish you'd tell him," she says, "to stop it." "Oh no," he says, "he knows how much you can do and it'll do good to do it."
Oh,
yeah, that was his doctor's outlook. Let him do a bit. Mm-hmm. Now they tell you for heart trouble you get to walk.
Yes.
Same thing, isn't it? Exercise.
Of exercise. So and you went to school in Craignish, did you?
No, Port St Mary.
Port St Mary.
The school here was in use for only 2 years. This church was built for a day school as well as a church, see, in 1880, near enough.
Yes.
But that lasted only 2 years because the Education Authority now built a school down Port St Mary. And at that time, if you come up Glenshire, Fisted and the Howe up to here, there was as many people living up here then as there lived in Port St Mary. Yeah. So that's the change that came, you see.
So how actually would you get to Port St Mary? How did you get to Port St Mary? Did you have to walk?
Walk down and back. It was walk everywhere in my young days.
Yeah.
Everywhere. There was no transport.
No pony and cart or anything?
No. The pony and carts came up, like with the supplies. You didn't have to go down to the shops in my young days, because on about 3 days a week, a grocer's cart came up, loaded up, and he just comes into the house and takes the order, what you want, went out to the van and got it. And it was the same with the bread. That was about 3 days a week.
And you had your own milk, presumably?
The milk here, yes. There was my uncle had the little farm, and we got our milk from him. In fact, I had two uncles farming. One on each side of the family. And what my Uncle James, he carried on, outlived the others. And those Torbman's farm, that was the big people. Mrs. Torbman married a Ken, you've heard of Kenyuk family in Bonaire?
Yes.
Henry Kenyuk?
Yes. So she married there?
Eh?
She married into the Kenyuks?
Yeah. And she went to Port Erin to live. And we also had a sister. I had a sister down the Sound Road. And she had a couple of milking cows. And we'd be sometimes getting milk there.
Yeah.
So there was no shortage. And my mother has told me on more than one occasion that in her young days, nobody bought milk in Craigneish. Anybody who didn't have a cow or a goat, they went to somebody where there was and helped yourself. Big bowl of milk there, help yourself. And that's the way they lived it in her young days. So, a few changes.
Oh, definitely.
Mm.
Not all for the better.
Not all for the better, no.
And what age were you when you left school?
14. Wanted to go to sea. They said no. All the young men, Port St. Mary, Glenchas, Festers, the Howe and Craigneish, they were all sailors in those days. And their big regret was that they didn't learn a trade before they went. They'd have something to come back to.
Yeah.
And I was persuaded to learn a trade. For all my sins, I was a plumber. Yeah, my brother went joiner.
And then you went off to sea afterwards?
No.
No?
Only in, I joined the Navy. I'm still waiting to see the sea. Well, I joined the Navy, you see.
Yeah.
And you're a plumber, right. We've got you. I was 3 months down at Watford, learning fine measurements, chiefly, you know, in engineering.
Yes.
And after that, I was 6 months up on Cannock Chase, you know where that is, in Staffordshire,
yes,
learning the trade they wanted me to go to. I chose engines. I was in charge of the engines, aircraft engines. That was my job. And still didn't get to sea. I was down at Fairford in Gloucestershire building up a glider squadron ready for the big drop. And that was my job. And after that, about 80 gliders, what was there, about 4 came back. They never told the people what was happening. So after that, out to Australia and the Pacific. Wonderful trip.
Yeah.
And I needn't have been, you know. I was in a reserved occupation. Hello, who the devil is this?
Tell us about Spanish Head again, sorry.
Oh, yes. Well, when the fellow was out walking with him, what do you call this? This is called a spina. He gets his book, and the Manx say spina would sound more like Spania than anything else. Anything appertaining to Spain, which was ridiculous, really. And they called it Spanish Head. And it's on the map, Spanish Head. But the locals never called it Spanish Head. It was Cornespina. That means the peeling head. Because the lintels, they used to peel them off gently with the chisels on that, because they couldn't blast them, because they would break them up. And all the locals always, my uncle, many a time he said to me, he said, come on, can you come out to the big mountain with me? I want to round the sheep up, you know. but it was always the big mountain. You know, never heard it called Spanish Head. That's a misnomer, that. And another thing, when the big armada was on, there was no Spanish ships came down this channel. They always ran the west side of Ireland. And George Broderick, you've heard of George, he was telling me that he knows about three headlands out to the west of Ireland called Spanish Head. That's where those Spanish boats wrecked. So it just shows you how you can get wrong names.
And this one here, sorry, you're saying with the cairn on the top?
Yes, Cairn of Spina.
No,
Cronkafich. The Hill of the Raven. Yeah. And then I was trying to think of the name of the Gior down below, or the Guana Hole. That was it. If you go to the south of that high part, there's kind of a Gior going down. I've walked down it, climbed down it. It's easy on foot, you know. It's not a climb. And down there, there's a cave, which was found, I would say, around about 200 years ago, which had been getting filled up since the last ice age of Guana, you know what that is?
Yes, the
bird droppings. They'd been roosting in there all those thousands of years, and they actually had to go and dig it out. There was that much of it in. That's the Guana Hole. And then, of course, there was that trunk of fig, this side of it, the side, the north side, or the west end of it, was another Gior going down. They called that the Horse Gior, where they used to back the old spent out horses, you know, or shoot them.
Yes.
Down the cliff, let the rats and the birds get hold of them. So I've heard.
Yeah. I believe one of your relations, I believe that one of your relations was actually sheep farming out on the Calf. Do you know much about that at all?
On the Calf?
Yes.
No, I don't know much about any of my relations out sheep farm. They've been working out. My mother was a dairy maid out when she was young.
Yes.
Yeah. But that all faded away. The Careys, people, they had plenty of money, you see. And I lived a week out there, slept a week. We were working out, doing the house up.
Yes.
Getting it modernised, getting plumbing in it and all that. And I remember the remains of it out there yet. Well, I put a windmill out, conventional windmill, to get electricity. No use. Burnt out in no time.
Went too fast.
Well, the wind would get up.
Yeah.
Strong winds out there. Yeah.
I was telling Bill about the burial places down here you were telling me about.
Oh, yeah. A field called the Relic.
Yes.
That's
burial.
Got something to do with burial, isn't it? And Bridie Lowie was telling me. Bridie was spent many an hour. He used to live over here, you see, and go down to the Sound to work because his two sisters lived in the Sound farm and he couldn't put them out. And he'd be talking to my father. And he said he was ploughing in that field and he hit a stone, turned it up. It was a lintel of a grave. So Bridie wanted to go on digging more, but his father says, no, stop, you've got to stop. And the stone is erected in the field rather than put it on the grave again. It would be too shallow, you see, for the plough. So you see the stone. If you go down the sound, the last field on the left, you'll see that stone sticking up there yet. That was a burial ground. Probably a monk's cell. See, and the burial ground that went with it. So we don't know much history about that, because that goes back to, what, 200 or 300 AD, doesn't it?
Yes.
See?
Didn't your father-in-law do the work on Thuzla out there?
He built it.
Aye.
My father-in-law and his brother built the Thuzla stack. Yeah. I don't know much about the history of it. Possibly took them 2 or 3 summers to do it, to get started. Not like it wasn't like the Chicken Rock. Now they reckon the Chicken Rock, that took about eight years to build, because they went out to examine the rock and they had to go down. They went down 10 feet in the rock before they got stable rock to build on. So that took some time, because it was all oars and sail in those days. They could only do it in the summertime.
You tell Bill about the photograph there, Stanley.
The two men?
Aye.
Oh, yeah. You've heard about the wreck of the Brig Lily.
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, the Brig Lily went ashore on Kittleland. The Lily, like, she was a brig.
Yes.
And she had 60 tons, wasn't it, of gunpowder on board. So I've heard various tales. But those 30 men went out to salvage it one morning, 29th, I think, of December. That's down in the history.
That is.
30 men went out. And there had been a light left burning. He only arrived, there was one man, got out on Kittleland and near a call of nature, and he went in, you'll see the, where the hollow went through, went down there, and next thing, whoosh, up she goes, 60 tons of gunpowder. Now that was some bang, that, because you heard, you know, Colby, there's mines up behind Colby, Ballacorkish mines, those men working down there, and they came straight away out of the mine. They thought it was an earthquake. So it was some bang, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's the son of the fellow that was...
And that there on the right is the son of the only survivor of the Brig Lily disaster, because he had a call of nature and went Sheltered Creek. Yeah. So, but I saved that from going down on the beach to be burnt. I liked it as a picture. Don't you like it?
It's lovely. Yes. Very nice.
It's father and son, then, Bill.
Yeah.
How old would that be, Stanley? Turn of the century?
1902. Data's on it.
Oh, you're right.
Very faint. You see it there.
You can see it there now, yeah.
Yeah. So I always, that was down Willow Cottage, Mrs. Kelly. See that fellow on the left? Now, I never met them, but I knew his widow. Because we owned the cottage, you see, and I always liked that as a picture. And when that fellow's widow died, and the son came over from Birkenhead, emptying the house, everything went down the beach and burned it. He wasn't going to pay any money to have it packed and taken away. It was only a load of rubbish to him. But I saw that picture on top of the pile one day and I says, what are you going to do with the picture? What can I do with it, he says. He wasn't going to pay to have anything taken away. Would you like it, he says. Yes, I says, if you're going to burn it. So he gave it to me. So I've saved it.
Grand picture, you know.
Well, it is.
Is it? the detail on the boat.
Now, that, of course, that was posed. Mm. The photographer, Carruthers, got them out in the boat and had them posed to take the photograph. 1902. So I got an eye for those things. I saved them, you see. Roy knows that, don't you, Roy?
Yes, I do.
Now, you say that when you left school, you apprenticed as a plumber.
Yeah.
Where did you do your apprenticeship?
In Port Erin. A chap called Harry Turnbull. I don't know if any of the family left round here now. Don't think so. All I remember, Harry's father was a big man, about 20 stone, and he was skipper of the little coaster, the Penta, and they reckon if you walk across the deck like that, you'd see the boat just going like that. That's all I could do to you.
Oh,
know.
I was telling Bill you knew the names of all these places down here, the various inlets and the heads around here on the Brews.
In the headlands.
Aye.
Well, there's a few of them, yeah.
Yeah.
As you say, there's the Kyogur out there where the Guano Hole was.
Aye.
And the one this side was the Horse Kyo. Yeah. Sleasbury. I don't know, it gets its name from the shape, I suppose, big hollow. Blackhead, of course, is Kion Dhu, you see, in Manx. Right down to, before you, between the borough and the mainland is a Bain of Brechin. That means the divided breach, divided bay, because there's a big horseback coming out in the middle of it.
Yeah. What's the name of the pool over there where they used to do the ice and something? The control?
Eh?
Isn't the pool out there where they used to have ice in the
water? Oh, yeah, it's Pool Veil.
Ah.
That's in the open
sea.
No, it's up on the Brew. The
open mountains, you call it. Yeah, that was... used to get the ice off that every winter. There you are. And now you know Kentraw down there, don't you?
Yeah.
You know Kentraw? Go on Kentraw on the Shaw Road.
No, I'm not sure of
the big mansion there.
Oh.
Well, if you come along...
Oh, where Gordon says, you mean?
Aye.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
If you come along from Castletown side of that and look over the hedge, you'll see a mound in the field on the left with a doorway on it still, I think, isn't there?
Yeah.
That was an ice box where they used to get the ice over here every winter and have a big whatever down there, the ice stored in down underground. And that's when Kentraw was keeping their food, wasn't it?
Mm. That's right.
So that was in the days before electricity.
That's smart.
You'll have to tell Bill about your model here too, if you're interested in that.
About that? Yes, well, that there was in the workshop down. Willie Eddie Collister's workshop. And it was there because this there is called a Clementina. And that was my mother-in-law. So that's why he had it. But that there boat, I remember that in a house with the mast sails on it. I went over one day to work, I was telling you.
Mm.
I mean, there's a secret, don't say a word.
Doesn't matter, no.
You okay?
Yeah.
You can cut it out if you like. That boat was out in the hen house. See? And I asked this chap, where's the boat? I said, oh, it's got wood lice in it, he says, and dilapidated. We'll give it to the boys to play with, he said. And there it was in the straw out in the hen house. But they were fetching more straw in. They were getting ready to put young cattle in. I did no more than I picked it up and put it in a sack, put it in the back of the car. Half an hour after that, it would have been powder. So he says, I didn't steal it, I rescued it.
Well, I said that, that's right. That, you might tell him it won the best, in, won a prize in London, didn't it, Stanley?
1883, that very model you're looking at was taken to London and it won a first prize at an exhibition of some sort. But it wouldn't be in that state now, only for this gentleman here. He took it and did it up. A real credit to him. It's something to look at, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need the mast and sails.
No. That's the half model there.
And there's the half model from which all these, and this, that there, John's tell you, you can look it up on the internet. There's half a dozen of them ordered for Southern Ireland. But if you were to see the model of a ordinary Nicky that's round here or Nobby at the time, that's much finer lines because we made to go faster because they had longer distances to go down there. You know, halfway across to France and all that, you see, and they wanted faster boats, and that is a faster boat than the normal Nickies of the time.
And half a dozen were made off this split model here, weren't they, Stan?
Yeah, half a dozen built them.
All the measurements are on that.
Yeah.
You take that apart, you'll see all the measurements in there.
Oh, well, you can go right down and the measurements are all there.
Yeah.
And as I say, the half model is a perfect shape.
Oh, it's lovely.
You know why they made a half model, Bill?
Sorry, so they could take the measurements.
Well, yeah, but if you were doing it freehand, you couldn't get both sides the same.
No, if you were to take a solid big lump of wood or have the woods screwed together, you'd never get the same two sides alike. So it was all history. But that was down in the workshop when I went there. But as I say, that there, I actually stole it.
No, he rescued it.
He rescued it.
Well, I looked out half an hour after, it would have been powder.
Oh, yeah.
Now, getting back to your life then and your younger days, you were brought up around here and
yes.
You started work. You stayed here. Like working as a plumber up till the Second World War, did you? Or?
Wait a minute. I was born 1910. I was schooled till
1924.
I was 14 then.
Oh, yes.
That's right, 1924. And then I was working as a plumber then, nothing more but a slave labour. Till I made a break with the chap I was serving me time with. Got a bit of a relief then. Then of course the war came off. And I got my letter, instructions to go down for me medical. Well, when you see I was in a reserved occupation, I needn't have been in the war. So I didn't ask me boss for a letter. I went down and had me medical. didn't say a word to him. When I came back the next morning, he was a bad-tempered beggar, I've told you, high-pitched voice. Where were you yesterday? Well, down having me medical. I said, oh, my God, he hit the roof. Why didn't you come to me, he said, for a letter? I could have got you off. Got me off. The finest thing I ever did. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. He knows, Roy knows. Mm-hmm. Trip out to Australia, paid for. Up to the Admiralty Islands. I was up there when the two bombs were dropped. I was in more of the South Pacific. And by Jove, the Indomitable was out there, you see. He probably, the planes probably flew of her, they would have done.
Well, the aircraft carrier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she called to the Admiralty Isles to pick all us up. War finished now, you see. No more excuse. By Jove. As I say, have you ever seen a man with beri-beri? Well, I have. Big tummy like that on him. Starvation. They'd eat anything to quench their hunger, wouldn't they? By Jove, they. That was from a Japanese civilian internment camp. Pathetic sight to see the people there. Of course, they were all Australians, you see. You wouldn't hear much about it over here. Yeah. We wouldn't have stood much mercy from the Japanese and the Germans had they won.
So then when you come back, you went back to plumbing again, did you?
Yeah, yeah. I started up on my own after the war.
What was the village like when you were a young man, Stanley?
This village? Oh, there was about 100 people living up here.
Aye.
Families living up here then.
Do you remember any of them at all?
Hmm?
Do you remember any of them, any of their names?
Oh, yes, yes. Not the most of them relatives of mine. Mostly all gone, you know, moved out. Nothing here for them.
And the church would have been strong at that time.
Yes, yeah. Oh yes.
The locals built the church, didn't they?
Eh?
The locals built the church.
Well, yes, they did, because they did a lot of the labour for it. Because that church was built for a dual purpose. It was built for a day school and also a church. And it was just the, what you call the altar that was consecrated. So they could have concerts, anything like in the church, without any question. That often enough be concerts in the church in my young days. Yes, it's quite a lot of, a few fellas reared up here, done well, moved away. Amongst my cousins over there, my Aunt Jane's family. What did we have? Fellow of the Royal Institute of Chemistry.
Mm.
Chemists. Accountants. Mm. And a missionary. See? Mm. That's one family. Sea captains and marine engineers, first class, you know, all from this village.
Harry Kinley? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute, where did he come in?
Kinley?
Yeah.
Was he not born up here in Craignish?
No, he was Glen Chasman.
Oh, Glen Chasman.
Yeah.
All right. He liked up here, though.
Oh, aye. He lived in this house with me. George Kinley, he was the superintendent of the steam packet company. And Harry was a skipper in the steam packet.
Oh, he was.
So, well, that was my aunt's family there. There was George down there and Karen. Certified master. He was in the marine biological station, you know, in charge of the boat.
All right. What was that, the Kuma, was it called?
Yeah. And
and you see now you've got, if you like, the folk museum down here, this open air museum.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been nothing like that when you were young.
No. 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 They've got it now, and that's all that matters. They own it. Doesn't care what they do with it. I mean, if they were doing the right thing, you'd admire them. But what are they doing with it? Practically nothing.
There was no blacksmith up here in those days, was there?
Oh, there had been.
Oh, there had been.
But before my time.
I thought John said there hadn't or there wasn't.
Oh, yes. Well, he came up from Bodearn.
All right.
That's the, yeah, that was Limbaton. You see, in Bodearn, they had the Breda Mines blacksmith down there full time. And when that closed down, the Grevins came up here to live.
Oh, right.
And he had a small forge down the bottom of the village there. But the anvil is still up here, a little one. You could carry it.
Who Crevins were they, Stanley? Herbert? On that one?
I don't know. I don't think they were the Herbert Crevins at all. More like Puss and Mary. They were descended of them.
Yeah.
You know, Ian Creven
Ian
and all
Creven,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
And what about your film career then?
Waking Ned?
Yes.
Yeah, that was great fun.
And how long ago was that? How long ago did you do
that? It was 10 years ago, isn't it?
Yes, that long as that will be.
Yes, it will be. I appeared in that 19 times, even if it was just a little bit of me.
So how many weeks were you actually?
That went on for the best part of a couple of months, didn't it?
Well, it's quite a while, Stanley.
Yeah. He said, I'm sending a taxi up for you one night. He'll taxi up first thing in the morning for you. What for? To go to Laxey. Taken down to Laxey. And all I had to do was sit in a chair like this. And oh dear, dear, what was their names, the actors? It was Kelly and that other poor chap who got killed.
Actor.
It'll come to me just now. They were in it. I just had to go and sit in the chair. Taxi. And £40 a day when we're called. And 3 good meals a day, and by Jove, they were good meals.
Yeah,
good cook at them up here, had his mobile kitchen over in the quarry over there. What a straight fun. But there was a young girl there, there was all the extras, you see, I was one of the extras. I'd be telling him. And this young girl, by Jove, she had to be, you see, to get them to obey and calm down, put them in their positions. I say, I'm left out of this. No, somebody got hold of my arm. Come on, I want you to go to such a place. Always had an eye for a young lady.
Did you, Sally?
Eh?
You did?
Yeah.
Are you still?
Still.
Oh, it's what keeps you young.
Yeah. So I kept well in with the... Oh, heck, I forget her name now. She was the girl that set all the seams. Oh. I was out in the Pale, Spanish, what do you call, out at Troncafich there. It's like a big cave in from the...
You can see it there, Stanley, on the picture. Who was that on the picture, Stanley?
There was my Uncle Neddy Crebin next door, and my father, the fellow on the right, and you see the young lad on the rocks with the dog.
All right.
Well, he was killed on the Chasm Hill there on the first day of January 1900, that young lad.
He fell over the edge, did he?
No, coming down the hill. It was all rocks then days. On horseback.
All right.
Horse stumbled, rolled over him, killed him. 1st of January. So that's dated. That was before the 1st of January. And that dog you see on it, well, I never knew that dog. You see, he was dead before I was born. But my word, I used to hear an awful lot about him. Mm-hmm. Laddie. He was almost human. Whatever my father said, he understood straight away. He says they were down the Sound one Sunday afternoon, you know, like the younglers. And when the dog wasn't looking, he took his knife, he said, and one, there's one occasion. And there was two gate posts there, you see, posts, 12-inch solid. And he stuck his knife down in the bottom of the gate post. And he got up a few hundred yards up the hill. Yes, laddie, I've lost me knife. Go back and find it, boy. He had the knife coming back.
Oh.
You had to look for it then,
yes,
you see.
Yes, that's right, Stanley. Wonderful, huh?
Yes, I've heard an awful lot about that dog. Mm. The things he would do for my father. Mm. That was typical of my father, anyway.
Was it?
Yeah.
So your father was a sheep farmer?
No.
Was he, or?
Oh, well, he'd been with his father before, who was a sheep farmer, general farmer, and sheep out on the big mountain. I've heard them saying when I was young, at one time the sheep weren't allowed in the fields. They were out on the mountains. Yeah.
Why was that, Stanley?
Well, the food in the fields was too precious to feed sheep on.
All right,
yeah. As I say, that's a chasm that's out there, that's just to the south of that high lump that's there. Of course, naturally, that was taken for a magazine.
Was it?
Yeah.
Nice photographs, Stanley.
Yeah, and there's Eddie there with... I must get it from... I'll have to stir myself.
Get a frame for it.
What's the best way to get it framed?
Easy enough. Get a frame and put it in for you.
Could you do it?
Oh, aye. I'll see what's lurking about. Leave it with you. I'll leave it with you and get back to you about it.
Think about it.
You hang on to it and I'll bring a frame to suit it sometime. Stanley. What was the name of that little field, the Nye? What was it called?
That I've got?
The
Nye Keel.
Nye Keel, that's right. That's the little field in front of the church there.
Down below, yeah. That means the narrow field.
Mm.
Yeah. About 12 acres.
Stanley's got 12 acres out on the head out there as well.
Here you are, if you come out here, just to here, you can see the green field there.
Yes.
As far as you can go.
And then there's one odd field just down behind the little thatch cottage there, just a little narrow field. It's called the Nye Keel.
Be a nice spot for a house there, Stanley.
It would be lovely.
Yes.
In behind the gate, looking down, you could have clear interrupted views two ways.
Well, I mean, this will take some beating here, this view from the window here. Take some beating, this view.
Oh, yes.
But you've always lived in this house. You were born in this house.
Born in it, yeah. Went away to the war. I often say that's the finest thing I ever did.
Aye.
I was one of the lucky fellas.
Yeah.
Sights round the world.
And can you remember any shipwrecks here when you were young? Like going down?
Sinking out off.
Yes.
Well, there was, but you'd hear about them, you know.
What was the other one in the Sound? What was it, the Clan?
Of the Clan McMaster. Have you ever heard of her? 6,000 tonner. You've seen photographs of her, surely?
Yes.
I should have one of them here, shouldn't I? I should have it on the wall here.
Yeah.
I'll have to stir myself and get it cracking.
It's slipping up there, Karen.
So that's that there and the Clan McMaster. Oh. Some good photographs of her. She was, she's still there. She'll be disappearing a lot now, won't she?
When we made the wheelhouse for Mick's boat, Mick Quirk's boat, that some of the teak came out of that boat.
Yeah.
And we made the wheelhouse out of it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, she was quite something with the Clan McMaster, 8,000 tonner.
How did that happen, Stanley?
Fog.
Fog, was it?
No radar in those days.
No. Was it on Kitland or Thursley?
Kitland. No, she went ashore in the calf.
Oh, did it?
The other side of the tower. Oh,
right.
Between the tower. Yeah, she went ashore in the calf. That was a great thing that day. News went round. On the radio they had those days, it was gridlocks of the Sound.
Aye.
There was two gates on it.
They were they?
Yeah. Yeah, on the road. All crowded out to see that boat.
Rich pickings to be had off it, was there? Or?
Eh?
Was there rich pickings to be had off it, or were they just...
Not really. She was salvaged and then settled. Stern went down, that was the end of her. Flooded then. Then they cut a hole in the side of her and took all the coal out of her.
All right.
The bunkers.
Did the locals do that or the salvage people?
Salvage.
All right.
Or the salvage take over straight away. Wreck like that. Out there, the people who got the salvage out of her, that floated out of her, was the people out at the Nyabel.
All right.
Yeah.
The stuff floated down there?
Oh, yes. You go out there on the ebb tide and then get blown in.
Oh,
I'll tell you who. Corin.
Corin the Lag.
The Lag. You knew him.
You were asking. I knew them, yeah. You were asking about
the... Yeah. Always says they had the horse and cart down for days, dragging stuff off the beach. So much timber, you see.
Aye. It was always a good beach for plunder, that place. With stuff. Yeah.
Any inshore wind, it would draw it in.
You know what I mean, Bill?
What?
If you go to the Arbol,
yes.
And then turn up over the brew to the left... You come to what they call the White Beach.
Yes.
And then Corin's farm, Corin the Lag, is just right at the end of that.
Yeah.
You can bring the horse and cart right down onto the beach.
White Beach.
But I've seen all sorts of stuff washed up in there. When
I bet you,
Bales of peat and all, God knows what was one day. Yeah.
There's none of that now, you see.
No. No, those days will not come back, Stanley.
No. But the Germans... Submarine just north of the calf there. Yes.
And you say he sunk?
Sunk the schooner. We couldn't see that. She'd been in tow, yes, she was under tow by two trawlers. Well, they'd have little guns on board, you see.
Yeah.
So she had to dodge them.
Mm. How many shots did she put off?
Over 70.
Really?
About 74 or something. Mm. You see, who on earth was keeping, count of them? Out on Cronker Feech was a Lloyd's weather station. See that whole, that high part there? You looked at it.
Yep.
Well, that was, there was a Lloyd's station out there, three men and employed there permanently. They'd be taking check of all the ships going past. Or reporting anything, anybody in distress in those days. And those, it was telegraph. Those poles going all the way out to that with a single line on it. It'd be telegraph.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he was the man that counted the shots?
Oh, yes.
Mm.
It was their duty. And then in the wartime, there was two huts carted out there. First World War, with soldiers in them. Two huts, army huts. Yeah.
What's the name of this land up behind the quarry here, Stanley?
Mule.
A mule.
Mule Hill. Some people call it Mull, the Mull. From the Mull of Galloway. The man says you can pay your penny and take your choice.
Yes. Times would be a lot different when you were a young man though, Stanley.
Oh yeah. You know the Druid so-called Druid Circle up there? Well, there used to be a railing around that, you know. And down below that, on the level, there's a place there called Lachna Wairach. Don't ask me the meaning of it, but that goes back about 4,000 years. And the mud, remains of the mud walls are still there from 4,000 years ago.
What do they call it, Stanley?
Lachna Wairach. The lag, you know, like the Wairach. Important place up here, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it is.
And then about 1935.
What?
Put the station up there in cooperation with the Chicken Rock.
Yeah. It's an early one station up here.
Yeah.
And that was all by hand signals in those days. No radio.
Well, they reckon this puts a beam out, doesn't it, to the aircraft? These
yes, that's different.
Yeah.
Different again, you see. But the original building's up there. And I suppose the war coming on, they were important.
Oh, yeah. Well, various people would own all this land out here. It wouldn't be just one person, would it, Stanley?
No, it was all different people.
Different people.